What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Mylynn Riobé, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dream Vision 7 Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Mylynn Riobé. And our number to call in is 646-558-8656. You're listening to and watching Awakened Wellness. I'm your host again, Dr. Mylynn Riobé. And today our topic is the three biggest mistakes exhausted business owners make that keep them stuck and what they can do about it. So in my 20 years of experience as a double board certified doctor, having the privilege of studying obstetrics and gynecology, as well as integrative and holistic health, what I noticed is the number one symptom, the number one complaint or problem, if you will, that clients have is they're tired. They're tired all the time. They're exhausted. They're burnt out. And oddly enough, we did not learn how to treat that in medical school. It's the number one complaint of our patients, and we got no training essentially to help with this problem. We got some training, right? So we were taught to rule out things, make sure that the client doesn't have cancer, for example, as a cause of fatigue, make sure that they don't have a thyroid condition. We would do blood work. Most of the time, vast majority of the time, we wouldn't find anything, or we would find things that were so nebulous and non-specific that we didn't have a diagnosis for the patient. And when there's no diagnosis, there's no treatment, right? That's our conventional medical model. So we would send them away and tell them, let's see how it goes, you know, get more sleep, et cetera. And then they would come back the next year for their physical and they'd still be tired. We'd run the same tests and they'd still be normal. And there was this vicious circle that was occurring. So I went out and I studied Chinese medicine as a result of that, because I thought to myself, there's got to be a solution. Like, this doesn't make sense. You know, how did I spend 13 years of my life studying something and I can't help anyone that comes in my office tired? And Chinese medicine actually had the answer, which was surprising to me, because you know, not having known enough about Chinese medicine 25 years ago, I wasn't expecting it to have the answers, but I was kind of desperate, right? And it shocked me and had all the answers. And I've never, you know, turned back since then. I studied it for 5 years. I did a 2-year internship with mentors. I love Chinese medicine. I still love it to this day. It's my favorite system of medicine. So I came back and I blended it with OBGYN. And then I went out and I studied functional medicine. Functional medicine is a holistic system of medicine. It's more modern. Chinese medicine is 4,000 years old, and it hasn't changed at all in 4,000 years, and it still works perfectly today. Functional medicine is different, or what we call integrative medicine is different. It's still holistic, so we're still looking for the root causes of things, and we're still treating the person as a whole. But what's different about integrative or functional medicine is it's very test heavy. We do a lot of testing in functional medicine. Chinese medicine, we do no testing. It's based on the client giving you their symptoms, you asking questions to determine patterns that the client has, and then you actually look at their tongue and feel their pulses to get a pattern. That's how Chinese medicine works. Functional medicine, we do a bunch of tests. So I blend all three of those systems, and that has helped me over the last 20 years to really help my clients with fatigue. What I noticed before they came to see me, they were making very similar mistakes when they were trying to fix things on their own. And they were forced to try and fix things on their own because, as I said before, as a physician, I wasn't trained to treat fatigue. It's not part of our medical school training. And so what would happen is patients would come in, we'd have no answers, and they'd run home and see what they could do. And with the dawn of the internet and all of this, you know, they were Googling, they were all over the place looking for information. And what I noticed over the years is they kept making the same mistakes. And so they weren't able to fix the fatigue on their own, despite their best attempts. And it's Chinese medicine that really helped me to notice what these mistakes actually were. I wouldn't have noticed them if I had just stayed in my lane and done obstetrics and gynecology. So Chinese medicine opened my eyes. So today, what I'd like to do is go over three of the top mistakes. I have a very wide gamut of clients. So I do have, you know, business executives, professionals, and I also have retired people, you know, they just want to hang out, play with their grandkids and travel. But I have a significant portion of my practice. They're business owners, they have careers, they're professionals. And when they're tired, they're not on their game. You know, they can't really get their businesses off the ground. I've had clients have to close their businesses because they were burnt out and they just couldn't do it anymore. So I'm focusing today on them, entrepreneurs, business owners. I have a very specific passion for Generation Z and millennials. I'm the mother of two Generation Z teenagers. So that's where my Gen Z passion comes from. Millennials, I just love them as a generation. They remind me a lot of me. So when I look at the millennial generation, I think of myself, and I think it's no coincidence that my name is Milen and they are millennials. And so I think it's a match made in heaven. I love millennials for their tenacity. I love millennials for the fact that they do not believe in the status quo. Like, they don't care if you've done it for 1,000 years. You know, if it doesn't work for them, they're not going to do it. And so shockingly, 93% of millennials have not seen a doctor in 5 years. And even when they get sick, they refuse to go to the doctor. They'd rather surf the web or do a telemedicine visit than go to the doctor, right? And people say, well, that's crazy. That must be why they're getting so sick. I disagree. You know, I think they're on to something, right? They know what I realized 20 years ago is like, oh my God, I can't fix the most common things that my patients come in to me for help. And millennials understand this. So they're kind of staying away from the doctor's office. And I don't recommend that, right? There are distinct advantages to getting an annual exam every year, right? We screen you for cancer. We screen you for significant diseases that can kill you or that can derail your life. And so those things are critical, but we are beginning to understand very poignantly that annual exam is not a preventive exam, even though it's called a preventive exam. It doesn't prevent anything. It just diagnoses things once they have happened. And so millennials are very preventive in their philosophy. They are the most well-read generation in American history. They are most willing to spend money on holistic care. Like, they really care about their health, and they understand that it should come in a holistic fashion, which is amazing. They are also the most educated generation in American history. And so that's where my passion for millennials comes from. And so the younger generations are the ones that I feel we as a society need to actually focus on the most. Not that we should ignore any other generation, but we need to keep the healthy population healthy. And I think that's where we're going wrong with our healthcare system is we focus so much on the sick that we ignore the healthy, and we make this assumption that they're just going to stay that way. They're just going to stay healthy. And if they don't stay healthy, then we'll fix it. And millennials aren't buying into that. You know, they want to be healthy. They want to be well. They don't want to be, you know, kind of left there to fend for themselves. They want a system of medicine that could keep them healthy. And that does not exist in our American healthcare model. Unfortunately, until 2014, when the American Board of Physician Specialties accepted the field of integrative, which is a holistic system of medicine, the field of integrative medicine as a medical specialty, a formal official medical specialty. So that was the very beginning of our American healthcare system beginning to recognize that there's got to be a better way, right? We have to start to do things a little differently because what we're doing is not working. And a medical specialty does not become accepted unless there is a overwhelming body of evidence that it works. An American board is not going to allow official board certification in a field that it thinks is nonsense, right? And so a lot of what we're going to talk about today is holistic, integrative. It is not so much in our, conventional medical model, although I believe it needs to become our conventional medical model. And so mistake number one that most of my clients are making before they come to see me is they're skipping breakfast. And I know today with the intermittent fasting craze, like skipping breakfast is cool. And I listen to my body and my body's not hungry in the morning, so I'm not going to eat, right? It's only through the lens of Chinese medicine that we begin to understand that that's actually flawed thinking. Chinese medicine is huge on breakfast. Chinese medicine, they're not against fasting. But there are very specific roles for fasting in Chinese medicine. It's not this one-size-fits-all solution in Chinese medicine. So they warn to exercise extreme caution with fasting and to only apply it when it's actually necessary. So a lot of my clients were coming in, they were skipping breakfast and they were just saying, well, I'm not hungry in the morning, so I just don't eat. I don't eat until 2. And then they would eventually when intermittent fasting became very popular, they would say, see, I read it on the online, I should be doing this intermittent fasting. And once we assess them, we realize that no, they should not be doing intermittent fasting because the reason they're not hungry in the morning is because their body is actually in starvation mode. And your body's really, really intelligent and it doesn't always behave in a way that you think is logical, but it actually is extremely logical in a specific way. And so not eating breakfast in the morning is you telling your body, I don't have food, I'm starving. And the reason that's the signal you're sending to your body is because you already weren't eating all night long. And so when your body wakes up in the morning, it expects to get the energy put into itself so that it can do its business for the day. And so if we think about how we actually live the day, right, we get up and we do work and then we settle down and we go to sleep. When we fast, we're doing the exact opposite. We're actually not feeding the body when it needs the most energy. And then we're feeding it before we go to bed. Like it's very counterintuitive. And some people say they feel better that way. But it does catch up to them eventually. And what happens is you actually weaken yourself more. And you give your body the impression that you're starving. When you give your body the impression that you're starving, what it does is it starts to drop your metabolism. So you don't feel hungry because your body is not doing as much for you. In other words, it's setting your immune system a little lower. It's allowing you to gain a little bit more weight. It is reducing your digestion. Your mental focus might also suffer. It's just turning off functions that it doesn't think are critical for your survival because it doesn't sense that it's getting enough energy to do those things. That's where people get, kind of achy and have pains. It's when your body is shutting down blood flow to places it doesn't think is so important, so it can take it to places it does think is extremely important, like your heart, and your lungs and the very center of your brain. And so that's what not having breakfast actually does. And so while intermittent fasting is very popular, it's only suitable for a certain metabolic type, if you will, metabolic types that have a lot of inflammation or toxins in their body will actually benefit from intermittent fasting because you're gonna mobilize those toxins out of your body. But as soon as those toxins and that inflammation are mobilized enough, what's going to happen is you're going to actually wear your body out. And so Chinese medicine is what teaches us these principles. They actually recommend that we eat breakfast like a king, and lunch like a queen, and dinner like a pauper. So we should be eating less later in the day and more early in the day. And it just makes sense, right? We're more active at that time. And if you follow the Chinese circadian clock, it tells you that you should be eating at about between seven and nine in the morning. And that you're digesting optimally between about 9 and 11 in the morning, so that you can be at your peak at midday, right? When the sun's highest in the sky is when we should be the most active, right? And then when the sun starts to set is when we should start setting, right? And so if we keep that in mind, it starts to make a little bit more sense why skipping breakfast is just a bad idea for most people. In our online course, what we do is we teach people how to determine their own metabolic type using 5 questions. And so once you know your metabolic type, you'll know, should I be skipping breakfast or not? For women in particular, usually the answer is not. Not for all women, but women tend to be what we call blood deficient. So they tend to have a deficiency metabolic type. Not all women, but most women. The reason for that is because we menstruate all the time. So, there's this monthly draining of energy and loss of blood that if we think back in history, we didn't experience before. It's a modern day phenomenon to menstruate every month. And so women in particular are very vulnerable to fasting if they're not very careful with it. And while you may feel okay originally, when you're starting to fast, you might feel good because you're mobilizing toxins, you're getting rid of inflammation. And so you're going to feel good until you've done that, and then it's going to start to wear your energy away. And so that's the number one mistake that many of my clients make. So what I do is I teach them to figure out their metabolic type. Once we know their metabolic type, then we can give them a very specific meal plan. And with our online course, what we're going to do is teach you how to do that, teach you how to figure out your own metabolic type, and then give you food solutions for those metabolic types, when you should eat, when's optimal to eat, when you should not eat. All those things are very specific and unique to you as a human being. Not everyone is made the same. So your metabolic type is extremely important for you to know, do I fit into the intermittent fasting category or don't I? Do I fit into the high intensity interval training group or don't I? So, if you are a deficient metabolic type, the last thing you want to do is high intensity interval training, because you're more likely to get injured. So you want to be doing more restorative things, yoga, Tai Chi, things like that. So number one mistake is, let me rephrase that. Number one recommendation is never miss breakfast. It's actually the most important meal of the day. So we're coming up on our first commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 2 next biggest mistakes that exhausted business owners make that keep them stuck. So you're listening to Awaken Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Milene Riobe, and we'll be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milene Riobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Milene the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milene is the medical director of the Riobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit riobeintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For over 40 years, Omega has seen more than 1 million people come through its doors to grow, learn, and find a greater sense of purpose. With over 350 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. Again, 877-944-2002.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids Children's Book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Thanks, Rachel. Welcome back to Awaken Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Milan Riobe. I was just checking to see if we had any questions. So mistake number two that exhausted business owners make that I've noticed over the last 20 years before they come and see me, energy drinks, tons of coffee, Red Bull, bad idea for most exhausted people. The reason for that is it causes you to artificially run on adrenaline, right? And so does stress. So a lot of people become exhausted due to stress. So stress is when you're running on adrenaline all the time. Eventually, when you're doing that too much, you know, too much of a good thing becomes a bad thing, right? So just like too much fasting will wear you out, you know, running on adrenaline for too long will wear you out. And so you'll become depleted with a lot of energy drinks. I have more than my share of clients that I have to like untrain from that habit of either drinking a lot of coffee in the afternoon to keep themselves going, or a Red Bull or Monster, whatever's out there these days, to keep themselves going because they crash in the afternoon. And the first two mistakes are related to each other often, because most of my clients who feel like they're crashing in the afternoon didn't eat breakfast. You know, and so then they're drinking energy drinks. And so what's happening is this double whammy. It's this perfect storm for them to get burnt out, right? So they didn't feed their bodies in the morning, and now they're running around doing all this work. And then they, of course, get exhausted because their body doesn't have the energy to continue to sustain all that activity, right? So they crash. And then they do the energy drink, and then now they're running on fumes, right? They have this tired, wired energy just to make it, you know, through the rest of the day. And so what that does is that drains them even more. So now your body's like really freaking out on the inside, right? It's like, oh my God, she doesn't have the energy to do this. I got to shut off more body functions because we don't have the energy for all this stuff, right? And the body functions that your body turns off are things like hair follicles, right? Muscle, skin cells. Your body doesn't think those are as important as your heart, lungs, and brain. And so it will just kind of shut blood flow off to those areas without you really noticing at first, right? So the first thing you might notice is your hair is getting a little dry. Your skin might be a little dry. You know, you might notice then that your hair starts to thin. The tips of your fingers might start feeling kind of cold, you know, or maybe even a little bit numb. And then as your body keeps shutting those functions down because you're starving it, like you're literally starving it. And people will argue like, yeah, but I ate later. The problem with eating later is that's not when your body needed the energy. And so what's going to happen is it's going to store it as fat. Now, yes, it'll have that fat to use the following day, but the problem that you're causing unknowingly to yourself when you're doing that is you're actually putting your body in a fat storage mode, which you don't want if you're trying to lose weight, right? You want your body to have just enough energy to do all that it needs to do. And so for most of my clients, small frequent meals actually gets them out of their fatigue rut, depending on their metabolic type. And so the energy drinks, you know, we've had to untrain people. The way we untrain people out of the energy drinks is to coax them to eat in the morning. You know, if you don't eat enough in the morning, you are going to crash in the afternoon. There's just no way around that. Especially if you have a deficient metabolic type. And so when people aren't hungry, it's hard to get them to eat, right? So what I recommend is just have a small protein shake, right? You know, just something simple, easy to digest, a soup that has some protein in it. And so, you know, that will help. And then eventually what happens is when you kind of force feed the body, what you start to do is you start to give it the idea that, now you have food, it's not starving anymore. So when you use small frequent meals, what you're telling your body is, hey, we have enough. Look, we can eat whenever we want kind of mentality. And so your body gets out of starvation mode and it starts to turn those functions back on that it perceived it could no longer perform, you know? And so your skin stops being so dry, you know, your fingers don't ache so much. Your muscle aches start to actually go away. And so this is what happens to, you know, many of my clients is the aches, the pains, the headaches. So the things that they were dealing with was basically from not feeding their own bodies. And so once we fed the body started to wake up and it was like, okay, I can send blood flow and nutrition to hair follicles. I can send it to tips of fingers and hands and muscles and bones and things like that, and still have plenty for heart, lung, and brain. So your body is extremely intelligent. In fact, it's miraculous. It has a consciousness all its own, and it knows what's going on in every crack and crevice of itself. And so it's constantly making choices for you based on immediate survival. You know, for us as human beings, we don't have a sense so much of immediate survival so much as we do quality of life, right? So for us, because our brains tend to want pleasure, we focus on quality of life more. Your body is more interested in survival. And so what happens is we're thinking one way, but the body's going in another way. And so we have to kind of understand, why does the body think the way it thinks? And why does it do the things it does? And then we allow it to think differently. We feed it enough that it doesn't think it's in this constant starvation survival mode. And so that's how we get people out of energy drinks. So, you know, I'll call her Sue. Her name isn't really Sue, but just to protect my clients' identities. You know, when she came in to the office, she was really like dragging through her afternoons. She would be okay in the morning. So she would fast because she wasn't hungry. She was eating at about noon and then she was off to work out and then she would crash after her workouts. And then she would drink about 2 cups of coffee. She would feel better and she'd go about her day, right? And then she would crash a little bit later, but then by then she was home. And then she would have her dinner and then she would rest and go to sleep, right? And then this was a repetition. And so when I evaluated her, she was deficient cold metabolic type. So when someone is cold, she actually felt cold all the time. Like she was wearing jackets all the time. And her body temperature was lower than normal. It was about 97-ish. It was never 98.6. Like she would tell me like, oh, if my temperature goes to 99, I know I have a fever because it starts so low. So we had her eat warm food. So not only did she need to eat breakfast, she needed the food to be warm. She needed the food to be cooked, maybe even a little spicy, some cinnamon and nutmeg and vanilla extract. If it's something warm, if it's something sweet, ginger. If it's something saltier than, you know, fennel and black pepper, garlic, those things are warming. And so, you know, soups and stews with, you know, protein in it, that's what we recommended to her to warm herself up. And so the aches and pains, the issues she had with her feet kind of went away. And it was simply because we knew what her metabolic type was. And so we were able to coach her on how to eat and how to eat differently than what she was doing. And that really helped her to ditch the 2 cups of coffee in the afternoon. And disclaimer, I love coffee. So I've been drinking espresso since I was 5 years old. That's how my mother would get me out of bed in the morning. And so it's a Caribbean thing. We all drink coffee. But in the afternoon, it's not a great idea if you are of a deficient type, metabolic type. So that's mistake, you know, number two. Let's see if any questions have come in. Any questions, Rachel? Oh, yeah. Okay. Here we go. You say breakfast is needed. I'm not hungry in the morning. Can I just grab an energy bar and call it good? You could actually. I don't know what you mean by energy bar. I would recommend more like a protein bar. Mistake number three is that we undereat protein, which we'll get to. So a protein bar would be what I recommend, or better yet, actually a protein shake. Bars, to make them yummy and to keep them glued together, they put some, you know, fillers that are not desirable in them. But, you know, if you are in the middle of nowhere and you can't eat, then yes, grab a protein bar. I like, this isn't going to look good on camera, but Perfect Bar. I just like them. They're basically organic, whole food, tons of vegetables. It has about, this one has 15 grams of protein. They have as much as 17 grams of protein. That's still not quite enough for a meal for protein, but it's better than nothing. So that's my go-to if I'm in the middle of nowhere or in a hurry and I can't actually cook or make a protein shake. So I'll have what's called a perfect bar. So something like that is a great idea in the morning. If you're not hungry, just have something very easy to digest, something you can make real quick. And then what happens is you get your body used to the fact that it can get fed, you know. The last thing your body wants is to not get food when it actually needs it. So it's not just calories in, calories out. You know, we think, oh, well, if I wait until 2 or 3 in the afternoon and I have my 2000 calories for the day, I'll be better off. I'm still getting the calories, so my body will be okay. That's actually not completely true. Your body is not designed to digest food later on in the day. If you look at, again, Chinese medicine teaches us this. If you look at the Chinese circadian clock, your intestines and your digestive systems are active early in the day. They are not active late in the day. So yes, your body will digest your food, absorb your food, but it won't be optimal. So you'll tend to have more inflammation. If you're eating more later in the day, it interrupts your sleep. If you're eating too late in the day, your body is just not designed to be fed late in the day because you're not designed to be doing anything late in the day, right? I tell my clients, you know, watch the sun. You know, we should be like the sun. When the sun's coming up, we get up, right? When it's at its peak, we're at our peak. When it's going down, we're starting to slow down. And when it sets, we set, right? But of course, modern living has introduced, you know, a different way of life. But as close as we can get to that, the better off we're going to be, because that's how our bodies are actually designed to function. We are what are called diurnal, you know, in scientific terms. We go with the sun, the cycle of the sun, And the moon is how our bodies actually function. And so if we go counter to that, it's going to come back and get us. And so, yes, an energy bar would be better than nothing, for sure. An organic energy bar as much as possible, organic protein shake, even if it's just the protein powder and water, that's good enough. Question, birth control affects my cycle. Does this make a difference in my metabolic rate? I'm not sure what you mean by affects my cycle, but menstruation, I believe, I haven't seen any studies on this, but this is my own personal philosophy that just kind of came to me in terms of studying Chinese medicine. There is a premise in Chinese medicine, women are of blood, men are of qi. And what that means is women rely on their blood for a lot of their functions that distinguish them as women. Men rely on their vital energy for, you know, the functions that they perform as men, if you will. So we are the nurturers, we bear children, we breastfeed them. You know, men are the hunter-gatherers classically. And so everything we do that kind of differentiates us has to do with blood, right? We menstruate, like I said earlier, every month. That's actually not supposed to happen. And as an OBGYN, I was trained to know that monthly menstrual cycles are normal. And if someone varies from that, there's something wrong. And that is true, you know, because we have adapted to a monthly menstrual cycle with our modern lifestyles, anything that veers from that is going to be not normal. We need to investigate that and find out, do they have a thyroid condition or other things, you know, that's causing their menstrual cycles not to be monthly. But the idea of a monthly menstrual cycle is actually kind of a side effect of modern living. It is not how we were designed to be. And so if we go back just 200 years ago, women were having 7 to 8 babies in their lifetime, right? And so what that meant is we would get pregnant very early, right? As soon as we went into puberty, we were married off, right? And we'd start having babies. And so we wouldn't have that many menstrual cycles if we really think about it, right? So women were having children at like 13, 14, you know, so no menstrual cycle while you're pregnant. And then we would give birth. There would be some blood loss during the birth, but then no menstrual cycles while we were breastfeeding. And back then there was no formula, right? And so we had to actually breastfeed children around the clock for many years. So up to 5 years until they could eat solid food, right? And so we didn't have all this processed food and formulas and things like that that we have today 200 years ago. And then, so we would not menstruate the entire time we were breastfeeding, because if you breastfeed around the clock, you don't actually get a period. And so it's nature's form of birth control. And so then we would wean our children off and then our menstrual cycles would start again and we get pregnant again, right? Because there was no birth control back then. And so if you counted the number of menstrual cycles a woman had 200 years ago, it wasn't that many. And so we did not have this downward draining every month thing going on that we have today. So now, fast forward 200 years, instead of 7 to 8 kids, we're having 2 or less. And so we're postponing childbirth, right? We've modernized ourselves, right? We've entered the workforce. We have, you know, gained our independence. We're not dependent on anyone. We can be single. We don't necessarily have to have children. So it's become, you know, this choice to have children. Whereas before it wasn't so much of a choice, right? So now we have our independence, we have our own careers, we have our own money, right? And we usually postpone childbearing to do that. And we have birth control. And so we're having 2 or less children now, which isn't enough to keep the population going, but that's where we are. And so now we're menstruating constantly every month, whether we're taking birth control or not. And so there's this draining of us that's happening. And so many women are blood deficient. And if we check our pulses, often it's much thinner than the pulse of a man because they don't bleed every month, right? And so even in menopause, we don't actually recover because of stress. And so when we become blood deficient because of frequent menstruation, if we're not eating to replace that blood, whether, you know, if you're a vegan, you don't have to eat meat to do it. You could be eating, you know, barley, green leafy vegetables, things like that. Chinese dates are blood nourishing. So there are many, many blood nourishing, you know, foods that are not animal products. But if we're not focused on that and replacing that very judiciously, we remain blood deficient even through menopause. So even when we stop bleeding every month, we are still depleted. And what happens to women is we have this double whammy. So we're blood deficient because of the downward draining and loss of blood that occurs every month. We're usually not eating enough blood nourishing food to catch up. And then we have stress, right? And men also have stress, but women are much more significantly impacted by stress because we start with this blood deficiency problem. And men don't have that. So they have this cushion. Men have a cushion of energy that we don't have as women most of the time. And stress consumes blood and energy, right? So whether it's mind racing, you know, the brain consumes a ton of energy. And so if you're thinking a bunch of thoughts, you're going to consume more blood. Your body has to send more and more blood flow to your brain. You know, and so that actually wears your energy out. So whether it's, you know, constant thoughts, or whether it's you're just overworking, not sleeping, we make blood at night when we sleep. And so if you're not sleeping enough, again, you're not making your blood. And so all of that stress consumes blood. So now you're blood deficient as a woman. And on top of that, you have stress, which is also depleting your energy and your blood. And that's the reason why women tend to suffer from depression and anxiety more than men. It's also the reason 80% of autoimmune disorders occur in women and not men. It's because we're just genetically different. And with modern living, we have this kind of side effect that we have not yet recognized so that we can correct it. So it's really important to catch up with your blood. And, you know, again, we teach this in the online course. You know, there are specific strategies of blood nourishing foods to eat, and whether they're cooked or raw depends on if you're a cold or hot, you know, metabolic type. So that's a great question. And yes, it makes a difference in your metabolic rate because this downward flow of blood and loss of energy every month is a loss of your metabolism, right? So metabolism is just a fancy scientific term for how you make and use your energy. And so if you're losing your energy constantly every month, you know, bleeding for 7 days, then, you know, that's a lot of energy to have to catch up with. And so your metabolism drops. And that's why a lot of women will report being tired during their periods or the week after their periods is this loss of energy and blood. And when you're already kind of drained and depleted and you're losing even more energy and blood, then yeah, you're gonna lose metabolic energy. So yes, it can affect your metabolic rate. Absolutely. Question, I just drive through Starbucks on my way to work. My favorite drink gives me my jolt that helps me face the office. Works for me. Hope that's okay. Yeah, just keep it clean, right? So I love Starbucks too. I don't love their coffee. I'm kind of a coffee snob because I grew up drinking coffee in the Caribbean coffee, but an espresso, an Italian espresso. So I like their chai, and I'll have a chai latte with almond milk, you know, if I go through Starbucks, right? So just be careful of what you're ordering. You know, a lot of those drinks, to make them taste better, they put a ton of sugar, a ton of syrups and things like that. So you just want to be cautious about that. But, you know, if you want a straight up espresso out of Starbucks, that's fine. Chai latte with almond milk is great. I would just be cautious with the dairy and the sweeteners and things like that with those types of drinks. But I love Starbucks too. Where am I holding the seminar? It is actually virtual from the comfort of your own home. This is where we're holding the seminar. COVID did a lot. And what I realized during COVID is I don't actually have to have clients schlepping into the office for me to do this examination. If I just asked them those five questions, I knew exactly what to do for them. And so that's what's so powerful about this, is it's so empowering. You know, before, I was so used to have the patient come to the office, and then COVID happened, right? And I couldn't have the patient come to the office for about 6 weeks. And so I had to develop this way of, how do I know what's going on for my clients without seeing them? And so these five questions really kind of nailed down these metabolic types. And from the metabolic types, we were able to unfold an entire treatment plan for them. And so what I realized is I can teach people to do this for themselves. Now, there's no testing, right? So this course is just strictly you figuring out, with my help, your metabolic type, and then learning what that means, you know, learning what that means in terms of your diet, learning what it means in terms of sleep. When should I sleep? How much sleep do I need? How much rest do I need? What type of exercise should I do? You know, so someone who's cold deficient does not want to go do high intensity interval training. They're going to, you know, completely wear themselves out or get injured. They don't want to do, you know, CrossFit, things like that. Someone who's cold deficient probably wants to do some hot yoga, you know. So if you're too cold, you need to warm yourself up. If you're deficient, you need to rest and restore yourself, right? If someone is, you know, cold excessive type, then yes, that's the person that wants to do the CrossFit and, you know, the high intensity interval training and, you know, to get that energy unstuck. And so that's the power of knowing your metabolic type and what to do about it. So it's completely virtual, which is what I'm so excited about. And it's self-empowering, you know, and that's a big thing with millennials and Gen Z, is they want to be self-empowered. And I think that's part of the reason they don't go to the doctor. Like, they want to be self-empowered. And they're right, right? It's not the responsibility of the physician to keep people healthy in the United States, right? The responsibility of the physician is to diagnose and treat diseases. That's what our medical system is designed to do. So we just need to take one more commercial break. When we come back, we'll address the rest of these questions and then talk about mistake number three. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Ryobe, MD. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, when you can call in and ask Dr. Milen the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Ryobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit RIOBEintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Hello, welcome back to Awaken Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Milene Ryobe, and today we are talking about the three biggest mistakes exhausted business owners make and how they can get back on their feet and sail through their businesses and live their best lives. So mistake number three that I've noticed over the last 20 years that my clients make before coming to see me is not eating enough protein. Protein is such an important component of the diet. And it's not people's fault so much. We have misunderstood protein in the scientific community for so long. And we're just beginning to backtrack on what we used to tell people. We used to tell people protein's bad, don't eat it, you know, minimize it. We used to tell people they only need about 40 grams of protein a day. And not to eat more than that. And that was based on the fact that we didn't know how to measure how much protein someone needed. And I always thought that recommendation was insane because I watch bodybuilders at the gym, kind of a gym rat. So I'm always at the gym, I'm watching bodybuilders and all they eat is protein. And they weren't keeling over and dying anytime soon, right? So I'm like, these people are pretty healthy. All they eat is protein. Something's not right with these recommendations. And I grew up eating a ton of protein. I would sit with my dad and we'd have like a pound of steak at a time, you know? And so in the Caribbean, like we never really had that mentality. I mean, I grew up in the United States. We just had a Caribbean culture in our family. But it never sat well with me, this idea that we only need 40 grams of protein. It just didn't make sense. And when I took bodybuilding courses, bodybuilders will eat up to a gram of protein per pound of lean body weight, which is a ton of protein. And so I always wondered, like, something's not right, you know? And so what I did with my clients is I made a recommendation somewhere in between there, because I knew that this 40 grams of protein a day thing was not the proper recommendation. But I also knew that most people don't work out like a bodybuilder, so they can't eat that much protein, right? So we went somewhere in the middle. Very recently, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, the data finally started to catch up and say, you know, yeah, we haven't been really measuring protein requirements properly because our testing methods were flawed. And so with more technology, they got better testing methods to figure out actual protein requirements. And what they realized is that we were grossly underestimating how much protein people needed. And I'm always a fan of just looking at your body and how does your body function? Like everything you see on your body and everything that's inside of your body is made of protein. There's nothing that's not made of protein in your body. Your hair is protein, your nails are protein, your skin is protein. Everything pretty much is protein in your body. Your enzymes are protein, your hormones are proteins. Your antibodies that defend you against infections are proteins. You know, there's almost nothing in your body that's not protein. Your cell walls are made of protein. The things they make inside of them are made of protein. And so this idea that we don't need protein, I think, is quite flawed. And thankfully, the studies are starting to come up and say, yeah, that was wrong. Please eat more protein. And so that was a big mistake that a lot of my clients make is they don't eat enough protein. So what happens when you don't eat enough protein is you end up eating a bunch of carbs and wondering why you're gaining weight all the time, right? When you eat a good bit of protein, what happens is you reduce your carbs because you're not hungry. The other thing about protein is it stabilizes blood sugar. So if you don't eat enough protein, your blood sugar does this. If you eat enough protein, it's kind of like this. It's not this wild swing. You don't get the ups and the crashes, you know, the insulin surges that occur when you eat carbs, and then the crash and burn that happens after doesn't happen if you're eating enough protein. And so protein recommendations are different for different metabolic types, different people, depending on your weights, your lean body mass, your goals, right? If you're in the gym hitting, you know, heavy weights, you need more protein than someone who's not, you know? And so it kind of varies what the protein requirements are, but not eating protein makes people tired. It's part of why people burn out. If you don't eat enough protein for your body to replace itself, you know, your body is never the same. You go to sleep and you wake up like a different person. You know, so many cells are turning over, you know, and being regenerated with new cells. And if you don't have enough protein for those cells to be built and for them to do what they do, then you're going to get kind of semi-normal cells being regenerated. And what happens is the body starts to fall apart, right? So people get osteoporosis because they don't eat enough protein. They lose muscle mass because they don't eat enough protein. Your muscles are directly related to your metabolism. So extremely important to eat enough protein. So that's mistake number three. Do we have time for one more question, Rachel? Are we pretty much done?
My childhood.
Sorry?
I'm sorry, we're pretty much out of time.
Pretty much out. All right. Well, I got in my last point. So it was wonderful to be back live here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Milena Riobe. Thank you for listening and watching. And until next time, many blessings.
Join us next time on Awakened Wellness with Milen Riobe, MD, to learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Awakened Wellness airs every Wednesday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with live video shows every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern of each month. Meanwhile, you can join our Facebook page at facebook.com/awakenedwellness and let us know what you'd like to discuss on future episodes. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Riobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit riobeintegrativemedicine.com. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.